welcome to this week's Wildlife Matters podcast, and I'm your host, Nigel Palmer. This week's podcast concludes season three with a feature on international wildlife. Wildlife Matters investigates returns to expose the trophy hunting trade in the illusion of conservation. We will disprove all their claims about conservation, its benefits for the local economy and tourism, and even its benefits for animal species to be killed to save others. Yeah, right. Wildlife Matters believes that every life matters and that all creatures on this planet are sentient. That is why we occasionally get outside the UK to explore international wildlife issues. And of course, we've got the very latest nature news hot off the press, and we'll find time to relax and enjoy some precious time in nature with this week's Wildlife Matters Mindful Moment. But now, let's get ready for this week's Wildlife Matters Nature News. Hello and welcome to this week's Wildlife Matters Nature News, where this week sees the return of Tory MP Richard Drax, who thinks we should cull more wild animals rather than end the badger culls. Drax has quite a reputation for speaking crap whilst under the protection of the Commons, and once again has put his foot in his mouth by saying all wild animals should be culled in response to the conservation groups who are calling for an end to the badger cull. The MP for South Dorset commented at a debate on farming in the House of Commons. He said that culling badgers has been proven to help stop the spread of bovine tuberculosis between farm cows, and went on to suggest that rather than talking about stopping culling on badgers and introducing some other form, all wild animals have to be culled. According to Drax, this is because animals such as deer and foxes have no natural predators in the UK, causing their health to deteriorate. He didn't provide any specific research to support his claim before adding, "We don't want to wipe them out, we simply want them controlled." According to the UK government figures, more than 210,000 badgers have been killed since the cull began back in 2013. The government claims a range of successes in its badger culling policy, but the data analysed by various groups does not support the government's claimed benefits. The truth is that bovine TB is still a significant issue for farmers within the intensive dairy industry. Wildlife culling is endorsed by certain farming and countryside groups, and the government even recently suggested feeding culled deer to inmates in prison and detention centres as part of its plan to control deer population. But Drax didn't stop there. He went on to complain about a beaver being released illegally in West Dorset, adding, "Beavers don't just hang around and say this is my home. As has been proved in Scotland, they breed and move elsewhere and do the same in other rivers," said Drax. "And as I understand it, they have had to be culled in Scotland because they've broken out of the area initially given to them." Drax failed to provide details of the alleged illegal beaver release, although the Dorset Wildlife Trust did legally release under licence beavers back into the Dorset countryside in 2021. Drax, who owns thousands of acres of Dorset farmland, asked the government to look at not only the illegal releasing of beavers into rivers, adding, if indeed this is the case, and that hasn't been proven yet, but certainly into the legal release and this emphasis on rewilding, which, while we all want to see wild animals, there is a proper place and location for each of the various species. This outdated colonial attitude comes from the largest individual landowner in Dorset, who still owns a sugar plantation in Barbados. The Drax family derived its substantial fortune from the lives of those within the slave trade. So, empathy and compassion for all life are lacking within Richard Drax and his outdated attitudes towards the countryside, wildlife and people are worrying and disturbing. Wildlife Matters is prepared to state facts, something Mr. Drax seems incapable of. There are only around 400 beavers in the UK, and we need more to counteract the flooding of our rivers as climate change begins to impose an ever wetter climate on the UK. Many European countries are encouraging beavers as nature's builders. They help slow the water speed in our rivers and create floodplains, saving towns and villages from the devastation of flooding. More than 1 million beavers are estimated to live within Europe in 2024. And that has been this week's Wildlife Matters Nature News. Trophy hunting is the hunting of wild animals for sport, not food. Usually, the animal is stuffed, or a body part is kept for display. Most trophy hunters come from wealthier countries and pay high fees for their hunts and trophies. Each year, hunters from the UK travel to Africa to participate in trophy hunting, bringing home the dead animals to display as trophies and souvenirs on their walls. Many who partake in this so-called sport are inexperienced hunters and thus cause the animals excruciating pain and long and agonizing deaths through inaccurate gunshots. For bragging rights, trophy hunters seek to kill the most impressive animals in their group, namely the largest breeding size males. According to the Convention on International Trade in Endangered Species, or CITES, 290,000 trophy items from nearly 300 CITES-listed species were exported worldwide between 2008 and 2017. These items included teeth, claws, pelts, heads, and entire bodies of defenseless animals slaughtered for the thrill of this so-called sport. Wildlife Matters reveals the myths that trophy hunters put out as they attempt to justify their penchant for killing wild animals and displaying them on their walls at home. That caveman mentality has no place in our societies or indeed the world today, and that is why we are exposing the myths of the trophy hunters so that you can see through them and ask some of the world's leading conservation NGOs and not-for-profits just why they are supporting the killing of animals for their body parts. We strongly recommend that you withdraw any support you give to these groups, as that is one way that will undoubtedly force them to review their decisions. So, let's dispel the trophy hunting myths, beginning with Myth 1. Trophy hunting supports healthy populations. Trophy hunters target animals with the best physical traits. They usually target males with big manes, horns, tusks, or antlers. This means animal groups lose their leaders, which can lead to more death, For example, when a male lion is killed, his pride suffers. Younger males kill each other as they fight for control. Females are killed protecting their cubs, and the new pride leader often wipes out an entire generation of cubs. Approximately 600 lions are killed every year on trophy hunts, including lions in populations that are already declining from other threats. It seems there would be a less destructive ways to conserve a species, precisely one that doesn't involve putting a price on their head. Myth 2. Trophy hunting provides money to poorer communities. A study on the economic benefit behind lion hunting in Africa concluded, the suggestion that trophy hunting plays a significant role in African economic development is misguided. Revenues constitute only a fraction of a percent of GDP, and almost none of that ever reaches rural communities. It appears correct that some hunters' fees go to conservation in some countries, but it's rarely the primary source of conservation funding. In reality, the agents, trophy shooting companies, and even the local government officials take the largest share of the sport hunting proceeds. This leaves around 5% for the local communities and the conservation of the local wildlife and habitat. Myth 3. Trophy hunting prevents poaching. Trophy hunting protects and empowers poachers. Poachers can gain access to protected areas where they can claim they are scouting for a trophy hunting client. It's tough to regulate poaching when trophy hunting is legal. This access to the animals is equivalent to leaving the keys with the prisoners at the jail. Exploiting this position is easy, and the local authorities cannot police it. Before the whaling moratorium was introduced, legal quotas were widely used as covers for poaching, driving some species towards extinction. And now the same is happening with trophy hunting of endangered species. Hunting animals for trophies, especially large game animals, can lead to a slippery slope in which the animals are the victims. Myth 4. Trophy hunting supports species conservation. Trophy hunting negatively impacts endangered and protected species populations. Due to human actions, more species are threatened with extinction today than ever. Scientists have identified the direct exploitation of animals, including hunting, as one of the main drivers of extinction. Even species that are internationally protected by CITES or are classified as threatened by the IUCN, or International Union for the Conservation of Nature, red list of threatened species, are the focus of trophy hunters and are killed in their thousands every year. These include species such as elephants, rhinos, polar bears, and big cats such as lions and cheetahs. Populations of many hunted species have decreased dramatically, with scientific studies showing that trophy hunting depletes animal populations within hunting areas and negatively impacts populations in the adjacent protected areas. Myth 5. Trophy hunting targets surplus or old animals. Trophy hunters typically target animals in their prime because they make the best trophies. Do you believe that they would pay all that money for the head of an older lion on the wall? Trophy hunters typically target animals with physically impressive characteristics that they believe make the best trophies, such as those with the longest tusks, the largest horns, or the darkest manes. In nature, these characteristics are critical indicators of good health and strong genetic predisposition. Animals possessing these traits are usually the most important members of their population and play a crucial role in the reproductive success and survival of the group, particularly in social species where older animals often lead with their ecological and social knowledge. The shooting of adult male lions, cheetahs, pumas, or brown bears often leads to infanticide, meaning a successor kills the offspring sired by his predecessor in a social group or geographic area. It's not just Africa that has a problem with trophy hunting. Studies conducted on brown bears in Scandinavia have shown that hunting has led to unnatural selection. Changes in animal behavior and population dynamics that affect the reproduction rate. The negative impacts of trophy hunting go beyond just the shooting of a single animal. Hunted species are also under pressure because hunters value the rarity and size of the trophy when choosing their target. Hunting associations and businesses increase the demand for particularly impressive or rare trophies by holding competitions and offering packages that promote and reward hunters who secure such trophies. Myth 6. Trophy hunting is strictly regulated and sustainable. In many countries that permit trophy hunting, there are severe problems with governance and a need for more regulation and control. The incentives of high profit margins mean that the rules governing hunting, such as quotas, age of the animal, or area restrictions, are frequently not complied with, and revenues generated from hunting fees typically fail to reach the local communities. Hunting quotas are often arbitrary and based on inaccurate or outdated rather than reliable scientific data. Additionally, they are of course biased towards the trophy hunters. More reliable population estimates are needed for most leopard populations, making it impossible to determine sustainable hunting quota levels. Despite this, the species is still heavily hunted. Studies have shown that leopard populations have significantly decreased in recent decades due to habitat loss, poaching, and poorly regulated trophy hunting. Myth 7. Trophy hunting guarantees healthy animal populations. A trophy hunter's main objective is to obtain animal parts for trophies, which means that maintaining healthy animal populations and ecosystems is not a priority for trophy hunters. They tend to hunt mature individuals in their prime, which can have negative genetic, social, and ecological impacts on their populations. So the claims that trophy hunting is a means of caring for or managing wildlife population or serves as a method of population control are completely misleading and false. Trophy hunting is a commercial enterprise where hunters pay for the right to kill animals, often of threatened and protected species, and then acquire a trophy. The price for such trophies increase with the rarity of the species. Trophy hunting trips are primarily motivated by the desire to hunt charismatic, endangered megafauna species in remote regions of the world rather than any intention to contribute to maintaining healthy wild animal populations. Trophy hunting is neither a humane nor effective tool for wildlife management, as it is driven by the hunting industry's economic interests and the hunter's demands. Myth 8. Trophy hunting reduces human-animal conflict. Humans' increasing intrusion into wildlife habitat leads to resource competition and the potential conflict between humans and wild animals. Trophy hunters claim their actions help mitigate such conflicts by targeting problem animals. However, it is often impossible to identify individual animals that cause problems, while studies show that killing problem animals is not an effective way of resolving these conflicts anyway. In reality, trophy hunters always prioritize hunting animals that will provide them with the best trophies. Removing these animals can disrupt the social dynamics within the group, potentially increasing conflict with humans. Predators may be forced to venture more often into human settlement and prey on farm animals as a readily available food source, especially if human activities have depleted the wild prey populations. Hunting can directly lead to human-animal conflict. Elephants that have been subjected to illegal hunting for a long time are far more aggressive towards humans. Older bull elephants play an essential role as leaders in male elephant social groups, and their presence reduces aggression in the younger males. Targeting these bulls disrupts the elephant social dynamics and can lead to heightened aggression in the younger males. As a result, human-elephant conflicts are only likely to increase. Trophy hunting is, therefore, not part of conflict resolution, but is part of the problem. Myth 9. Trophy hunting funding helps to conserve protected areas. Trophy hunting does not significantly contribute to the preservation of protected areas. It is primarily conducted on private land where wildlife populations are artificially settled and bred to ensure the availability of the sought-after trophy animals. Some private reserves even genetically manipulate wild animals through breeding programs to meet the demands of the trophy hunters. Such selective breeding, essentially it's intensive wildlife farming, within fenced areas poses a considerable risk to biodiversity. It can lead to genetic impoverishment, hybridization, different species, and reduced longevity of individual animals. The money that's invested in this private sector does not support species conservation or ecologically sustainable protected areas. When considering revenues from trophy hunts conducted in and around public protected areas, it becomes clear that the costs of managing the protected areas far exceed those received from trophy hunting. As an example, in Tanzania, the hunting industry finances around 2% of the costs required to maintain the biological integrity of the adjacent protected area. Even though this is a tiny proportion of the revenues from trophy hunting, this amount is not necessarily invested in species protection or protected areas. Instead, it may be used, for example, on infrastructure or for other projects. Thus, trophy hunting contributes almost nothing to the costs of maintaining the protected areas and conserving the nature and species. Myth 10. Tourism cannot replace the income from trophy hunting. Tourism can be a sustainable source of income for local communities, offering long-term work opportunities that can significantly increase their earnings compared to trophy hunting. Around 80% of tourists who travel to Africa go there for wildlife viewing, and the continent's 8,400 protected areas generated around $48 billion US dollars from nature-based tourism. On the other hand, trophy hunting in the 8 major African hunting countries provides an economic benefit estimated at $132 million US dollars. Reports tell us that around 19,800 jobs are provided by trophy hunting. This compares to 2.6 million wildlife tourism jobs, which are not related to trophy hunting. Trophy hunting also undermines other forms of wildlife tourism, as hunters kill the very animals that tourists have come to see. For instance, an elephant can generate around 1.6 million US dollars throughout its life through tourism. While 9 hunting operators sell permits to kill an elephant for an average of 30 to 40,000 US dollars. It's also worthwhile noting that many tourists will no longer visit areas where trophy hunting is permitted, as they stand against the hunting of wild animals as trophies. Back in 2021, the South African cabinet endorsed a government report that found that the captive lion breeding industry, which includes captive lion trophy hunting, does not contribute to conservation and it damages South Africa's conservation and tourism reputation. In 2022, major international tourism companies, including Booking.com and the Expedia Group, stated that trophy hunting is damaging South Africa's reputation as a tourist destination. They called on the South African government to reject trophy hunting and instead invest in wildlife-friendly, non-consumptive economic alternatives. Myth 11. Trophy hunting is ethically acceptable. Killing an animal for fun or a trophy is unethical. It's incompatible with morals and our standards to do such things, as well as defying all animal welfare requirements. The Ethics Specialist Group of the IUCN, World Commission on Environmental Law, concluded that trophy hunting is unethical and incompatible with pursuing a sustainable and just world. Animals targeted by trophy hunters do not enjoy such protection. Perversely, the trophy hunting industry actively promotes the use of killing methods that increase animal suffering. The trophy hunters violate ethical principles and legal provisions in their home countries when they come hunting overseas. For example, trophy hunters often use cruel hunting methods that are banned in many European countries, such as hunting with bow and arrows, 10 crossbows, muzzle loaders, and pistols, hunting with dogs, or shooting captive bred animals in small enclosures. Cruel hunting methods and the lack of experience of many trophy hunters also contribute to the prolonged suffering of animals, with a complete disregard for the fact that animals are sentient creatures capable of suffering and forming critical social relationships. Several European countries have already taken action, with France and the Netherlands banning the import of hunting trophies. The Belgian Parliament voted in favour of an import ban on trophies in 2022. Finland's new Nature Conservation Act, which came into force in June 2023, prohibits the import of hunting trophies from countries outside of the EU. And similar proposals are being discussed in other European countries. The European Parliament has called an import ban on trophies of CITES protected species. Myth 12. Import bans on hunting trophies undermine the sovereignty of communities in exporting countries. Now, every country has the right to establish laws related to species conservation. But due to the current nature and wildlife crisis, in which over-exploitation is a significant contributing factor, national trade restrictions are necessary to safeguard vulnerable species from exploitation. These restrictions are explicitly provided for in international and European legislation. Import bans on wildlife products, including hunting trophies, are critical for wildlife conservation and are already in effect worldwide. The hunting lobby claims that such bans prohibit source countries and their citizens from utilising their natural resources, which is incorrect. Instead, governments take responsibility for protecting wildlife and act based on legal, ethical, and social obligations. Trophy hunting is a business model, prioritising individual profits over the common good. When wild animals are treated as commodities, there is a significant risk of excessive exploitation, particularly for a threatened species. So, that's the 12 myths dispelled, but what is the British government doing? Well, in 2021, the UK government pledged to implement one of the world's most stringent bans on the import of hunting trophies, covering nearly 7,000 endangered and threatened species. After years of campaigning for a ban on the import of hunting trophies, Henry Smith, the MP for Crawley, introduced a government-backed private member's bill. The bill passed through all stages in the House of Commons and was then debated in the House of Lords in the late summer of 2023. Unfortunately, a few pro-hunting peers held the bill hostage in the House of Lords at the committee stage, and it was dropped. However, John Speller, MP, reintroduced an identical hunting trophies bill in December 2023, and the second reading of that bill is scheduled for March 2024. Wildlife Matters urges the UK government to take responsibility and implement one of the strongest laws on importing animal body parts as trophies. Observing wild animals in their natural habitat is an awe-inspiring experience. During an ethical safari, it's common to see elephants, buffalo, and giraffes sharing the same waterhole. Watching lions enjoying the sun and leopards resting under a nearby tree is truly memorable. And if you're lucky, you may even catch a glimpse of a rhino. Unfortunately, what should be a peaceful and unforgettable experience for us is nothing more than a hunting ground for people who want to kill these animals for so-called sport. That's why we must work together to put an end to trophy hunting and its counterpart, canned hunting. And we start by banning the import of animal body parts as macabre trophies. But that has been Wildlife Matters Investigates Trophy Hunting. Well, I'm sure many of you knew the unique sound of a flock of red wings. What a wonderful spring treat for me. And what about the bird on the tree branch much closer to me? Well, that was a beautiful little dunnock. And that has been this week's Wildlife Matters Mindful Moments. This week's Mindful Moments, It's based on a real mindful moment I had in my local woodlands just last week. It was early on a Monday morning, and I was treated to this fantastic sound of winter visitors arriving in a large flock of maybe 100 or more birds to feast on the beech mast and berries. But what are these birds, and can you pick out the bird in the foreground? My friends, brings the curtain down on series 3 of the Wildlife Matters podcast. It's been a blast. Wildlife Matters will be back on the 10th of April with series 4, and we are looking forward to bringing you more interviews with people working for the benefit of wildlife and nature, more exclusive undercover reports into the cruelty and persecution of wildlife in Wildlife Matters Investigates, and more species-specific episodes. If you like the sound of that, then join me on some of my adventures as we explore the wild side of the UK. I am so excited to share Season 4 with you, so make sure you subscribe and follow Wildlife Matters on your pod provider of choice. Visit our website, www.wildlife-matters.org. That's www.wildlife-matters.org. And keep up to date with our adventures of Wildlife Matters on Facebook, Instagram, Threads, and Twitter X. But for now, this is Wildlife Matters signing off, and see you on the 10th of April.